from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise at the bench of Mother
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, and web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information you're about to hear, because this isn't Couch Potato Radio, it's Activist Radio. I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. And if you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Let's start off with announcements. Join David Brower, Martin Litton, Tom Hayden, who was invited, and others for an evening of education and discussion of the forest, the Democrats, and the role of forest activists at the Democratic National Convention. Even if you can't go to Los Angeles, you can help shape our forest protection demands on the state, national, and global levels. Remember, only 20% of the world's original forests remain intact, and less than 3% of California's old-growth forests remain. The planet needs us now. David Brower gives us 30 years if we don't put the brakes on this planetary destruction. You're invited to join us for a rally and press conference on the forest and the Democratic National Convention on August 3rd. That's a Wednesday, I believe, at noon at the San Francisco State Building steps in McAllister and Polk Street in San Francisco. Can't make it to Los Angeles in August. We will also discuss plans for a National Forest Protection Day on August 14th for activists across the country on the first day of the Democratic National Convention. Involved and endorsed by the American Lands Alliance, Rainforest Action Network, International Forum on Globalization, National Forest Protection Alliance, Coastal Rainforest Coalition, Forest Forever, Yuba Nation, John Muir Project, Save the Redwoods, Boycott the Gap, Pacific Environment and the Resources Center, Bay Area Coalition for Edwards, and Earth First. For more information and to endorse or help organize, contact Mary Bull. Her number, 415-731-7924. That's 415-731-7924. Or you can send email to chalice, C-H-A-L-I-C-E, at ACO.com. That's chalice at ACO.com. You can always visit their website at www.gapsucks.com. And artists and craftspeople are wanted for the 16th annual San Gregorio Coastal Protection and Music Festival, August 12th and 13th. Every summer in the fields behind the San Gregorio General Store, you are transformed into a musical celebration of the beautiful San Mateo County Coast, featuring local bands playing to benefit local environmental groups. The San Gregorio Coastal Protection Festival draws over 1,000 people to 2 music-filled days in August. We're looking for artists and craftspeople who want to exhibit and sell their wares at the festival. Once again, this is Saturday, August 12th and Sunday, August 13th from 10 a.m. to sundown. The booths are 12 foot by 12 foot, really reasonable, $50 a day. Free admission for 2 people of the concert. Overnight camping is possible and wheelchair accessible. It's $30 a day for San Mateo and Santa Cruz County artists, farmers, and craftspeople marketing their own goods, and free to nonprofits. That includes Earth First Santa Cruz, and we will be there. Headliners David Lindley, Wally Ingram, John Trudell, and Box Set. They'll have blues, country, folk, Irish, and reggae bands throughout the weekend. For information on how to get involved, contact Chris Larson at 650-726-2499. Once again, that's 650-726-2499, or email to sgerc@sanmateo.org. That's sgerc@sanmateo.org. All the profit proceeds to benefit the San Gregorio Environmental Resource Center, the Coastal Habitat Coalition, and the Committee to Save Pescadero. Once again, 16th Annual San Gregorio Coastal Protection Music Festival, August 12th and 13th in San Gregorio. The mobilization for safe food and family farms, stop the corporate takeover, a day of action against Monsanto, August 18th in St. Louis. Speakers include Bill Christensen, National Family Farm Coalition, Rhonda Perry, Missouri Rural Crisis Center, Tammy Shea, Gateway Green Alliance, Brian Tokar, Institute for Social Ecology, who's been invited. That probably means he didn't confirm yet. And biotech Bob Shapiro of the Monsanto Corporation. We demand that Senator Kit Bond halt his campaign to create the Silicon Valley of the genetic engineering in Missouri, an end to Missouri government's critical support of the hazardous technology of GMOs and Monsanto. We support shifting Kit Bond's $25 million tax break and tobacco settlement money away from genetic engineering and toward Missouri's family farmers and sustainable organic agriculture, an immediate ban on private ownership of life forms, and a moratorium on marketing, developing, and private testing of genetically modified organisms, revocation of Monsanto's corporate charter based on the company's long history of flagrant illegal activity. Things started at 9 o'clock with a teach-in at the Gateway Green Center, 6101 Del Mar Avenue in St. Louis. At noon, there'll be a rally at Monsanto headquarters. Doesn't say where that is, but if you live in St. Louis, you probably know. At 2:30 in the afternoon, a rally at Senator Kit Bond's office. That's at the corner of Bonham and Hanley in Clayton. And at 8 o'clock in the evening, a benefit concert location to be announced. And Uncle Dennis will let you know just as soon as I know. If you want more information, contact Mo Rage. That's Missouri Rage. Care of the Confluence, P.O. Box 63232 in St. Louis, Mo. 63163. Once again, the address, Mo Rage, care of Confluence, P.O. Box 63232, St. Louis, Mo. 63163. Or go to the webpage, www.missouri.edu/tilde1DD0AA. Don't know why they have such a weird webpage, but anyway, that's www.missouri.edu/tilde1DD0AA. Email to morage!@unbounded.com, or you can give them a call, 314-721-3192. That's 314-721-3192. And a radical environmentalist group is claiming responsibility for extensive vandalism at a U.S. Forest Service laboratory in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Officials are assessing the damage and believe the total cost could reach $1 million. According to the Forest Service, 8 vehicles were defaced, and field experiments, including roughly 500 trees, were destroyed sometime overnight last Wednesday. A group calling itself the Earth Liberation Front is claiming responsibility through a fax to the news media. Dr. Judd Isebrands, a group leader at the lab, says the incident is upsetting. The FBI is involved in the investigation. The destroyed experiment was trying to produce ways to create faster-growing, disease-resistant trees. The ELF statement refers to the project as a genetic engineering research program. The Forest Service says biotechnology research is not involved and the project was relying on traditional breeding methods. The ELF statement also criticizes the Forest Service for destroying old-growth forests and cutting into roadless areas and goes on to say, quote, "We are everywhere and nowhere, and we are watching," unquote. No suspects were in custody as of late Friday afternoon. Activists increased their efforts at the Ramsey Gulch tree sit in Santa Cruz, California. Through the combined efforts of many Earth First activists, concerned local citizens, and the Canopy Action Network, the Ramsey Gulch tree sit that was begun on June 19th has now evolved into a tree village that consists of several more trees and 2 more tree-sitting activists. Although a restraining order has recently been issued against all activists who enter the San Jose-based Redwood Empire's property, activists were not deterred from making a resupply run, delivering fresh supplies of food and water. The tree village consists of 7 trees: Wisdom, Epic, Sentinel, Shaggy, Grief, Trouble, and Starlet. Connected by ropes and continues to be a necessary tool for protecting the trees and drawing the public's attention to the illegal harvesting methods of Redwood Empire. The logging operations have been moving closer to the tree sit, but spirits are high in the tree village. Blackbird, an environmental activist and the first resident to occupy the tree village, has stated, quote, "I'm not going to come down until there's some agreement in protecting this area," unquote. Ramsey Gulch, located in the Corralitos watershed in southern Santa Cruz County, has been heavily impacted by logging since 1850, and the cumulative impact on the land has greatly increased in the last 10 years. The Santa Cruz, California County Board of Supervisors voted last November to pass special county logging practices ordinances to protect the best interests of local residents, the watershed, the forests, and wildlife. The ordinances, which prohibit logging within 50 feet of a stream, are designed to protect not only threatened steelhead habitat, but drinking water as well. Redwood Empire's timber harvest plan for Ramsey Gulch is allegedly in violation of these ordinances, as trees in streams and along stream banks have been cut and many fallen redwoods have been left in the streams. Although California Forest Practices rules state that cut trees may not be left in streams for more than 24 hours, these trees have been left in the streams for a week or more. Many more redwoods are marked to be harvested very soon. Environmental activists maintain that enforcing the 50-foot buffer zone would protect the streams and fish populations. Activists are also concerned about the excessively steep terrain of the forest. These types of soils are easily eroded and could lead to landslides if the root systems that hold the hillsides in place are destroyed through logging. One tree faller reportedly walked off the job site because of concerns over safety while falling trees on such extreme slopes. Other concerns that activists have about logging in the delicate Ramsey Gulch include the diminishing streamside canopy. Reducing it further will raise stream temperatures, which can kill certain fish species, and increased understory growth, which increases fire hazards in a redwood forest. Environmental activists state that these previously harvested areas need protection, not continued harvesting. Last year, Roger Birch's Redwood Empire had over 30 violations of the California State Forest Practice rules in their logging operation in Gamecock Canyon, which borders Ramsey Gulch to the south. Most of these violations were never mitigated. An anonymous activist with Santa Cruz Earth First says, quote, "Laws are enforced on trespassers trying to expose logging violations while Redwood Empire continues to dissipate county ordinances that protect timberlands in watersheds." Unquote. The environmental activists want to see the forest rules enforced consistently and maintain that more sustainable logging methods must be practiced to ensure healthy forests and ecosystems. Northern California forest defender Redwood Mary came down to join the coalition of activists supporting the Ramsey Gulch tree sit. Santa Cruz County is not the only area feeling the impacts of Redwood Empire's illegal logging practices, Redwood Mary states. Roger Birch and Redwood Empire are continuing the same unsustainable logging practices in Santa Cruz as they have been in Mendocino County. Last year in Mendocino County, I, and along with other local community members, had to sleep at logging gates for two nights with copies of an appellate court order. The order halted all logging operations on a Redwood Empire timber harvest operation for alleged violations of the California Forest Practice rules. Roger Birch allegedly failed to honor the court's decision by continuing to send in crews to carry in logging operations. Recently, it appears that Redwood Empire had logged while violating a still-standing injunction. Roger Birch and Redwood Empire allegedly made a move to make the scheduled court hearing moot by telling the appellate court that the logging was completed. The appellate court denied their move, and the court is going ahead with a hearing on the Mendocino timber harvest plan. Redwood Mary also stated, quote, "I want people in the Santa Cruz area to know that Redwood Empire's policies and operations need to be scrutinized. In my walk along the Ramsey Gulch Creek, I witnessed major soil disturbances and clear-cut sections on incredibly steep slopes. Massive redwood trees lie near and have fallen into major watercourse protection zones. Clearly, Roger Birch and Redwood Empire's logging operation break Santa Cruz County's own forest practice laws. What remains of some areas of the Ramsey Gulch Redwood Forest is in much better shape than in the Mendocino County, and it is going to take strong local citizen participation to make sure that the forests here are not destroyed by destructive logging as they have been in Mendocino County. It is also going to require the support of people from all over to help save our international treasures, the last of the world's redwood forest ecosystems." The environmental activists want the public to get involved in protecting the last of the redwood forests. It will take everyone's help to ensure that these forests remain standing. Please call or write the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors and ask them to enforce their own ordinances. Their address, Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors, 701 Ocean Street, Santa Cruz, California, 95060. The phone number, 831-424-2200. Once again, Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors, 701 Ocean Street, Santa Cruz, California, 95060. The number again, 831-454-2200. 0000. And if you'd like to contact Santa Cruz Earth First for more information about the Ramsey Gulch tree sits or supporting them, or to get involved, our phone number, 831-425-3205. That's 831-425-3205. And if you have donations, please send them to Santa Cruz Earth First, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And the Ocean Warrior is returning to the Faroe Islands whale hunt. Arrests, detentions, deportations, incitement to mutiny by police, and ever-increasing fines have failed to deter the Ocean Warrior, Sea Shepherd Society's international's flagship, from its campaign against the pilot whale grind hunts of the Faroe Islands, a protectorate of Denmark. Official pressure has been brought to bear in an attempt to make the marine wildlife activists stand down and end the increasingly international attention that has been focused on the Faroes' tradition of mass whale slaughter since the campaign began on July 6th. Ocean Warrior sailed from its port in the Shetland Islands on course for the Faroes despite demands of the ship's Cayman Islands shipping registry under pressure from the Danish government that the vessel remain in port until Captain Paul Watson had signed statements affirming that he would not enter Faroese waters. On Tuesday, while the Ocean Warrior was delayed for inspection in the Shetlands, several Faroese fishing boats herded between 30 and 40 pilot whales into one of the island's shallow bays, where they were driven onto shore and slaughtered with machete-like knives. Unilever, facing increased public demand to cancel its Faroese fish contract since the beginning of Sea Shepherds International's campaign, has issued a statement that the fish it purchases from the Faroese fishing fleet represent a small portion of the Faroe's total catch, and the fishermen from which it buys fish have attested that they, quote, are not involved in and not supportive to any whale hunt, slaughter, or distribution of whales or whale products, unquote. Hence, Unilever, quote, does not have any direct or indirect involvement, unquote, with the slaughter. Five major European food distributors, Aldi's, Endika, Rue, Tengelmann, and Karstadt, have demonstrated that they have a conscience and terminated their Faroese seafood contract, said Sea Shepherd Vice President Carol Vogel. Quote, we would be happy to sit down with Unilever Chairman Niall Fitzgerald and discuss the selective amnesia of Faroese fishermen when they are doing business with Unilever and what percentage of Unilever's profits it believes may be acceptably soaked in the blood of whales. And Unilever brand names include Gorton Seafood, Bird's Eye Vegetables, Langnese, Lipton Tea, Dove Soap, and of course the all-important Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream and their new Faroese whale blood flavor. Sea Shepherd International can be contacted at P.O. Box 2616, Friday Harbor, Washington, 98250. Once again, Sea Shepherd International, P.O. Box 2616, Friday Harbor, Washington, 98250. Or give them a call, 360-370-5500. That's 360-370-5500. Or, of course, you can go to their webpage, www.seashepherd.org. Dateline, Minneapolis. Police arrested four animal rights activists last week, just hours before a controversial animal genetics conference got underway. Identified as Jason Allen Nord, 22, of Lincoln, Nebraska, Angela Rose Davis, 23, of Minneapolis, Brandon Lee Nord, of 22, of Minneapolis, and Kate Suzanne Peterson, 19, of Rapid City, South Dakota. Police made the arrests in the University of Minnesota's Dinkytown area after observing what they characterized as suspicious activities. The activists were charged with lurking with the intent to commit a crime. They were found with rappelling equipment, which is often used for climbing, police said. Hundreds of scientists traveled to Minneapolis for the International Society of Animal Genetics Conference, which officially kicked off Saturday and ran through last Wednesday. Activists said up to 600 people could demonstrate. Police were preparing for as many as 1,200. No protests were held on Saturday, and organizers said protests would likely be held on Sunday and Monday. I have more news about that in a moment. Activists objected to genetic engineering because they believe it threatens biodiversity and could pollute delicate ecosystems. Before they were released, the activists were arrested and ordered to sign a waiver promising to stay away from downtown Minneapolis or the university until next Friday. Protests were expected in those areas. Two of the activists were released later Saturday. The remaining two continued to be held after refusing to sign the forms. Police reports did not indicate which two were released. A civil rights attorney argued the waivers are unconstitutional. Cindy Montgomery, a spokesperson for the police department, said such forms are used in cases of domestic assault and during protests. It's nothing new for this conference, she said. In further news about Minneapolis, about 65 activists and protesters protesting the work being done by the International Society for Animal Genetics Conference in Minneapolis Hyatt Regency were pepper sprayed and arrested around the hotel on July 24th. Some of the activists were members of the Bioengineering Action Network, the Upper Midwest Resistance Against Genetic Engineering, and Anarchist Spiritual Syndicate. By 8 p.m., Hennepin County Sheriff Pat McGowan said 62 adults were booked into jail. Three juveniles also were jailed, and the charges ranged from disorderly contact to inciting riot. Using batons and pepper spray, about 200 police officers circled and stopped about 100 protesters at various intersections trying to get to the Hyatt Hotel. During the 3 hours of protest before the arrests, I spoke to a few police officers and protesters. The Reverend Rusty Membrane of Anarchist Spiritual Syndicate, who was all dressed up in a three-piece suit and who identified himself as an anarchist, said, quote, "Police will need to arrest people to justify the amount of money they've spent to prepare for this conference. We don't want any violence. We will work with the protesters," said Inspector Sharon Lubinsky, commander of the downtown unit who was directing the police operations. Police reportedly spent from $200,000 to $500,000 in overtime, riot gear, and concrete barricades around the Hyatt Hotel to prepare for the protesters. And on the evening of July 22nd, people from all over New England joined concerned Maine citizens and took action to protect our communities and forests from genetically engineered trees. In an action similar to a multinational corporate clear-cut, 1,500 to 2,000 genetically engineered trees were hacked down. These trees were brewed out of the cauldron of biotechnology by Mead Paper Products Corporation in our community of Milo, Maine. The creation of monoculture tree plantations breeds inherent dangers to diverse natural forests and wildlife. Genetic engineered trees create super trees, which threaten water resources. As a result, these trees in turn cross-pollinate with native trees, and the native genes are forever altered. Toxic chemicals used on the trees create toxic soils, disturbing every ecosystem in the area and destroying any remnants of what was once natural. This technology must be destroyed. This madness must stop, and people around the world are not going to watch this unnatural synthetic culture thrive. We will continue to stand up to corporate greed. And British genetically modified sites are trashed. In the last 3 weeks, a total of 9 farm-scale trials have been visited by citizens taking immediate and pragmatic action against the pollution of our countryside, sponsored by the United Kingdom government and the Aventis Company. This constitutes damage and possible invalidation to almost 19% of the total farm-scale trial evaluations currently being grown. The actions have been both covert and overt. The list reads Daviot in Scotland, 15% of the spring oilseed rape destroyed in 2 separate covert actions. Sometime before the public meeting, 100 people attended that rally. The site had genetically modified contaminated Hyola 38 oilseed rape being grown in the control half of the site, as stated by Meacher in the House of Commons. Its scientific validity is therefore highly dubious. Other sites: Hutton Magna in Yorkshire, England, covert action. Chipping Camden, Gloucestershire, a covert action, about 75% destroyed. Hemel Hempstead in Herts, covert action, 50%+ destroyed. Kempley in Gloucestershire, covert action, more than 50% destroyed. Over Compton, Dorset, Chardon Mays, covert action at a public rally. There were 7 arrests, one person detained, and 15% was destroyed. In Wivenhoe, Essex, corn again, overt action at night, 11 arrests, 25% destroyed. Hadley Hall Farm in Yorkshire, again, corn, covert action, 60% destroyed. And in Rothamsted, Herts, I guess that's the place in England, more corn was destroyed in a covert action. 35% of that field was destroyed. And July 24th, 7 Greenpeace activists were arrested after 5 members of their group boarded a Danish vessel, the CIC Light, to spotlight the shipping of criminal timber from an Amazonian rainforest. The ship's crew, however, reacted suddenly and violently upon spotting the activists. 2 activists were unfurling a large banner, which was snatched away. 2 other activists' ropes were cut as they attempted to climb aboard the ship. The activists plunged from the side into the water, where they were subsequently rescued by Greenpeace activists in an inflatable boat. 3 activists, Veronica Froelich from the U.S., Heike Staugel from Germany, and Paul Gujerts from Belgium, remained on board. All 3 carried smaller banners. Quote, this reaction is only a symptom of the violence that pervades the global illegal timber trade, said Scott Paul, Greenpeace forest campaigner. Every week, criminal timber is being shipped into the United States from around the world. The U.S. government promised to tackle the illegal timber trade and is simply turning a blind eye to this flourishing market. Police officers boarded the ship and arrested the three activists who remained on board the ship. The two activists who were dropped into the water, Christian Jonasches from Germany and Jim Klein from the U.S., eventually boarded the ship and remained roped to the bow until they were taken into custody by the U.S. Coast Guard. The divers of the safety boat and the van, James Mitchell and Dexter Sumner, were also arrested. All were arrested by Chatham County Sheriff's Department, and that's in Savannah, Georgia, on simple misdemeanor trespass charges. A recent Greenpeace 18-month investigation in remote regions of the Amazon uncovered hard evidence that several companies who regularly export timber to the United States are implicated in the illegal timber trade, including the Rimbunan Haijau Group, one of the world's top rainforest destroyers. The Brazilian government itself estimates that 80% of all the logging in the Brazilian Amazon is illegal. This Greenpeace action is the latest in a series of global protests to protect the Earth's last remaining ancient forests. In the past weeks, Greenpeace activists around the world have exposed criminal timber imports into G8 countries. If you want further information, visit the Greenpeace website, www.greenpeaceusa.org. That's www.greenpeaceusa.org. Well, Uncle Dennis is going to take a little musical break here, and then we'll be right back with more news.
He came from the clear-cut hills of Roma to raid the redwoods of Sonoma. No other. He says he learned it from his butcher and his mother. What have you done to Mendocino? LPO, thou shalt log to infinity. Then LPO gets this great idea, and he says, aha! I will move my entire milling operation down to Baja! What have you done to Mendocino? Then one day he gets a phone call from his brother, GPO, who says to him, I think I'm down to my last trio. But MPO says, no problem, just scrape the forest floor. Bind it up, glue it back together, make a wafer bar. LPO. What have you done to Mendocino? He finds out that both his feller bunchers have been sternoed, and reality hits him like some bad a dreamer. When they find the note that says, no compromise, Jerry.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. So stand by.